will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, we're so thankful to be here. And I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of the many that are here today, Father. We chose to come and to worship and to listen and to hear from You. Father, I pray that You'd bless them for doing that. That You'd speak to them now. Lord, may Your presence be so evident here this morning in our lives, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our spirit. May Thy will truly be done, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the main part of the message we're going to be at is Genesis chapter 3. But I want to begin with Revelation 3:20. And what I've had on my mind, it's funny how there's times that I really struggle. And then there's other times that it's just like the Lord just is speaking to me all week. And this was one of those weeks that the Lord's been speaking to me all week. But what He's been speaking to me, I hope I can make it clear, through the message this morning. And I hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will make it clear to each one of you. But Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." The reason why I was so much thinking about that is that He's standing there knocking. Okay? But it's up to us if we want to open the door or not. It's up to us if we want to let Him into our lives, if we want to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He's standing there knocking, and He's saying, "I want to come in. Will you let me? Will you invite me in? And then if you'll invite me in, I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to hang out with you." Have any of y'all ever had someone knock at your door and not answer? I have. You get those salesmen, those door-to-door salesmen, you know, it used to be years ago, the encyclopedias that they'd be selling that, or some kind of children's books or something like that, and they go to door-to-door and they knock, and there's many times that it's like, you're in the living room and they're knocking and you like, "Everybody be quiet," and you're, "Don't move," you know, you don't even want them to see your shadow. And it's like, why are we so scared? Like, if we don't want to answer the door, we don't want to answer the door. And I know some people that's actually let them into their house, and after they let them in, they were like, "What have I done? Why did I let them in?" You know? But I wonder how many of us can be that way with our Heavenly Father. It's like that person that you're trying to avoid, that you don't want them to know that you're home, and He's standing there knocking, saying, "Let me come in," and you're saying, "What? God, You don't have any place in this moment. You don't have any place in this time. God, You're for Sunday mornings, and that's it. Not Monday morning work. Not at the football game. Not at Walmart. God, what?" So let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And the fall of man, and this has just really been on my mind, okay? And as we go through this, I want you to remember this Revelation verse that I just read to you. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." That's the underlying verse of the whole message, okay? But here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Y'all, we've studied this before. We know in our own life from our own experience, everybody that I'm looking at here is children of God. We don't have any new believers here. We've all experienced this, haven't we? That Satan is manipulating our mind and will try to get us to do something that, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it. But Satan will play with you. He'll mess with you. Did God really say, don't do this? We've all seen that. That's how Satan works. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. What I think is interesting here is that they could eat from anything in the garden. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. You can have any of it except for that one. Don't eat that. Casey, I hadn't asked if I could share this story or not, but I'm going to share it. But he was saying that they got a new alarm system in their house. And he said that this new alarm system, there's one button. I don't remember what it's called, but he said, you don't touch this button because it's like the panic button. Is that what it's called, the panic button? And he said that they told Ellie, do not touch this panic button. Whatever you do, do not touch this panic button. And I just started laughing in my heart and in my mind, and I thought, if somebody says don't do it, what's the first thing a kid wants to do? And no matter if it's Ellie or anybody else's kid, right? The first thing they want to do is touch it to see what it is, you know? But we're not that different than Ellie, are we? We're not that different from our kids when we say don't do that. And here, God said, you can have anything you want, but one tree. Don't eat of it. Don't have anything to do with it. What's Satan do? Verse 4. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. Can I tell you something? When I read that and she's saying it was good for food and it was pleasing to the eye and it was going to give her wisdom, she was looking at all the benefits of it, but she forgot, apparently, that God said don't. See, sometimes with our lives, we can look at all the benefits of things and try to justify what we're doing. I've confessed many times, I'm one of the worst about cars and things like that, and that this old truck that I wanted, and I really didn't need that old truck, but it was a 72 Chevy, man, it was beautiful, all chromed out and everything, and I wanted that truck, and so I prayed about it, and God kept saying no, and I was a new Christian, but then I manipulated it in my mind where God worked it out for me to get this truck. I didn't even make it 2 miles and the thing broke down on me driving it home after buying it. It ended up just being nothing good about it, okay? But I wanted it, so I justified it in my mind. Y'all, we're no different than Eve today. Many of us, we want something, so we justify it. We say, well, it's good for this and it's good for that and it benefits me here and it does that. But we know in our heart the Holy Spirit's saying, mm-mm, no, you really shouldn't. You really shouldn't do that. But she said it was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Is that not how we are? Have you guys ever been done something wrong? Maybe as a little kid, and your parents come home, and it's like they can just see you're guilty. They might not even know what you did yet, but why? Because you're hiding, because you're acting different. And then as we grow up, even as adults, I know myself that there's been times that I've been rebellious, there's been times that I've been disobedient, there's been times that I've given in to temptation. And you know what? It's like I want to hide. I want to hide from all y'all even. It's like, because I don't want to be around people that are believers because I'm scared they might see what I've done. I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed. So they hid. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." The main point that I want to get, the reason why I went back to reading this is because what they did is they ate, they partook of disobedience. Okay? It was an active will to say, "I'm going to eat of this tree that I know I'm not supposed to." They became partakers of disobedience. And I've just had that word on my mind all week about partaking in stuff that, good or bad, we're consumers, we're partakers. And so I want to go to Exodus chapter 16 now, and we're going to talk about the manna and the quail. Exodus 16, verse 9. Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" The people were grumbling, and I believe at the beginning of this chapter is when they said, we should have stayed, we shouldn't have come out here, we're going to die, and they're just grumbling and complaining. So God's heard their grumbling. Verse 10, while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." So here, God has provided, right? In the Garden of Eden, he had provided everything. Said, "You can partake in anything but one tree." Here, God has provided again. And he's saying, take as much as you want. Gather as much as you want. But here, fill up a omer, and that's going to be it. Okay? So, verse 17, "The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed." I think that's so interesting that those who gathered much didn't have too much, and those that gathered little didn't have too little. I mean, that is just, it blows my mind, and it makes me think of how we are today, how some of us work to try and have all this stuff, and it's like we're still living paycheck to paycheck, it seems like, and other people just seem like they're just, whatever happens, and they're provided for too. They get what they need. And so, then Moses said to them, verse 19, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Disobedience. Once again, they're not listening. They're being disobedient. Verse 21, "Each morning everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning.' So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? How does that relate to us today? Because that's where I'm really at, okay, in my heart and my mind. So I was thinking about, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God wants to come in and dine with us. He wants to come in and be a part of our lives. And I was thinking about Eve, how she had everything that she wanted, but she disobeyed. I was thinking about the Israelites here and how God provided for them so they could go and eat and get what they need, yet some still disobeyed, some didn't, some did what they were supposed to, but some still got too much and it turned bad. Some went out on the Sabbath to look and there was none to be had. But in all this, I just keep thinking about the obedience and partaking in what God has provided for us. Is this making sense at all? Because it's really in my mind how we have a choice of what we want to partake of in our everyday life. Okay? We have a choice each and every day. Do we want to spend time with God? Do we want to spend time with the world? We have a choice when this church is open. Do we want to come and we want to be present and see what the Lord is speaking to each other? See what the Lord has given us? Have fellowship together? We have a choice to stay home. We have a choice in each and everything that we do. And what I'm thinking in all this is, what are we feeding on? What are we taking in? What are we passionate about? What does God have a place in our life? And I want to go to Luke chapter 14. And this is, Wednesday nights we've been talking about the peace treaties and everything going on and the little signs that are showing the end is getting near. Now, we talked about, with the Lord, a day is as a thousand years, and God's patience means salvation. And so, but there's things that's lining up, okay? There's things that is over my head that I don't fully understand, but you cannot deny the season that we're approaching, okay? You can't deny it. What's taking place? There's things throughout history that's never taken place before that's happening right now before our eyes. And, so Luke 14, verse 15, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. To partake someday, hopefully I will see all of you there. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Okay? Jesus is standing at the door and knocking in each one of our lives, I believe, each and every day. And he's saying, come. Come to me. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Okay, I'm not getting on to anybody here because I can't, because I've been guilty of this. But how many of you, you should be reading your Bible. You know you should be praying together as a family. You know you should be maybe singing and worshiping God, but you're busy. And with legitimate things, a man's bought a field here. He's got things that he needs to do. We all have things that we need to do, right? We all have things. We all have times that we are so busy. But why is it always God that seems to get pushed out? Have y'all ever thought about that? You'll make time for your favorite movie. You'll make time for your favorite TV program. You'll make time to catch up on the latest on Facebook or Snapchat or whatever you're on. But we don't make time for God. What are we partaking of? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you guys are all here today, and I believe many of you are faithful servants, just like me. But the reality is, Satan is crafty, right? And he'll mess with us. And he'll get us thinking we're too busy. And what is the thing that you normally neglect? Is it God? You know, we have to show up for work, right? So I can't neglect that. I've got to take care of my kids, so I can't neglect them. My grass is 2 foot high. I can't neglect that. I've got meetings. I've got PTA, or I've got Boy Scouts, or whatever it is. Satan is crafty, and he's going to get us busy. He's going to get us busy. He's going to get us partaking of things. And then all at once, the feast is ready, but we make excuses. When I say the feast is ready, I was telling the men Wednesday night that last Monday, you guys know I don't hide things, okay? But last Monday, for some reason, I had such a craving to read God's Word. I was just like, I need God's Word in my life. I had such a craving, and it was a good craving, y'all, because I don't always feel that way. I had such a craving. But I was busy, and before I knew it, the day was gone. And then here comes Tuesday, and I'm reminded, God, I need you, and God, I want to hear from you. And then it's 8:30 at night, and the day is gone again, and I've still not opened up the Word of God and really began to seek Him. So the Lord gave me something to do each and every day. And so far, I've been faithful to it. But I have to have, like, structure to make time to do that. Because why? Because I get so busy. You guys say, well, feasting, well, when I go to heaven, yeah, I'm going to be ready. Jesus, I'm going to be ready to see you. But what about today? Today, God has something for us. Are we ready to come and feast and eat with Him? But he has an excuse. I just bought a field. Verse 19, another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Excuse. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. What's your excuse today? I mean, I'm not pointing fingers because I have excuses too. I got to mow. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And God, I can't hold my eyes open. I'm just tired. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, go out quickly into the streets and house. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. I don't know how many of y'all have seen what's going on out in California. And I wasn't going to talk about it, or I'd have had more detail on it, but they basically have told the churches they can't meet, and they're going to issue them tickets, jail time. I can't remember if it was up to a year in prison and like a $10,000 fine if they attend church. And there's a church out there that's continuing to meet, and it's getting nationwide. people are tuning in to their online services. They're so excited that this has taken place that they're saying, we're going to obey God rather than man. And from my understanding, the church said, you know, we tried to be obedient at first, and when they'd shut down everything and they just did the online service, but then they let all these other things start opening back up, but they said the church still couldn't, and they said, nuh-uh, we're being discriminated against, so we're coming, and we're going to meet. You know, who would have thought here in the United States of America we would see that happen? And you know, I'm thankful to live in the part of the country that we live in, but think about it. I'm not going to get a ticket if I come here this morning. I have no threat of jail. But think, how many people are at home this morning, still in bed? How many people are at home this morning, it's a day of rest, so I'm going to rest, getting their food cooked and their grills ready for to watch Sunday football all afternoon and just kick back and take it easy because they've had a hard week. We choose what we want to partake in. We choose if we want to join the feast or not. Are we gonna be like Eve and there's all this abundance? I don't think we're in the Garden of Eden necessarily, but we live in a great, awesome country that God has provided for us, that we're given all these benefits. Are we going to choose what He says not to choose, though? Are we going to be like the Israelites and go out and eat, but then really not be obedient and try and take too much and try and store some back and God saying, how long am I going to put up with you people? Deuteronomy 30. We're almost done. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. You hear that? Okay? If you fell asleep, listen. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and in the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. If we keep His commands. If we keep His commands. Are you struggling? Are you struggling in your marriage? Are you struggling with your kids? Are you struggling in your job? Are you struggling at home? Have you been keeping God's commands? This message ain't about trials and tribulations. We've talked about that. We know they're going to come. And I'm not up here saying that, well, if you follow God, every day is going to be just wonderful and you're going to have no distractions, you're going to have no troubles, you're going to have no trials. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when you are obedient to God, there's something deep down inside that can't be shaken. There's a peace, there's a joy that can't be taken away no matter your circumstances. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. this day I have called heaven and earth as witnesses. I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life. What have you been partaking of? What have you been eating on? Have you been eating on the forbidden fruit? Or you've been eating on the manna from heaven? The last verse that I have is when Jesus was tempted by Satan, and he says, turn the stones into bread. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 4:4? Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Many of us are in a fast right now. But we're fasting from the Word of God, and we should be. Many of us, we don't have a time that we study the Word. We don't have a time that we seek God. We just kind of, whatever happens, if I find time that day, if the Holy Spirit prompts me and reminds me, I'll read a devotional on my lunch break. I'll think about God here and there. But y'all, we need to begin to feast. He's standing at our heart's door knocking. Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today He set before us life or death. Are we going to choose life? Are we going to partake in the manna from heaven? Or are we going to continue to be disobedient? Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit spoke to every heart in here and will convict us of the areas of our life that we have been disobedient, and open our eyes to the areas of our lives that we need to open up and need to begin to read Your Word, that we need to begin to partake of the good fruit that You have for each and every one of us, Lord, that today that we would truly choose life, the blessings that You've provided for us. Father, thank You. Thank You for the freedoms that we have here in this country and all that You've blessed us with. But Father, may we not begin to follow false gods and false idols and think that that will satisfy, think that that will bring us joy, think that that will bring us peace. May we no longer justify our disobedience, but Father, may we repent this morning and turn back to You. May there be a desire in us like we've never had before to walk in obedience, to read Your Word, to get to know You, to know that the day is approaching fast, Lord, when we'll stand before You. Father, I pray that for every ear that's hearing My voice this morning, that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, when they stand before You, that You might be able to say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. May the distractions of this life fade away. May we only have eyes for You and seeking You and to walk in obedience. May we be partakers of the kingdom of God and not of this world. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to spend some time alone with the Lord, you need to get some things right in your life, now is the time.
Here before Your altar, I am letting go of all I've held, of every motive, every burden. You are.
I know I need to be a better example to all of y'all too. And so, throughout the years, I've challenged you guys for different things, to pray for different people. And if you guys are like me, you might do good for a few days, maybe even a few weeks, but then you kind of forget and you just kind of quit doing it. But let me just share what the Lord gave me to do. And maybe it'll challenge some of y'all to do the same. But I have a real hard time remembering Scripture. I remember verses, but I have a hard time remembering where they're at and exactly where they are. And I'll remember part of it and not the whole thing. And so I remember years ago, Jason Hancock talking about somebody, I think, that he went to church with. And they would read either the same chapter or the same book over and over and over again. And I want to say that they did it for a month. Okay? And so he said it really wasn't that he was memorizing it so much as he just could see in his mind, this verse is on the second column on this page in my Bible. So what the Lord, last Tuesday, what I felt like the Lord told me to start doing is I just felt like the book of John. And I'm reading chapter 1 for 7 days in a row. And I'm just keep reading it over and over again. And y'all, I'm not going to lie. There was a couple days that it was like, oh, and my attitude, but I was like, okay, God, because I've got to have something in my life. I've got to have something that makes me do that. So I begin to read chapter 1, and it was Tuesday. So Tuesday, I will read chapter 1, and then I don't know if I'll go on to chapter 2 Tuesday or Wednesday start chapter 2, I guess, however the Lord leads. But I'm going to go through the whole book of John like that and then see where He directs me from there. And hopefully it will sink in deeper. And I've shared with you guys before a man that lives around here, and his dad was a pastor for years, and he got Alzheimer's. He couldn't remember anybody's name. He couldn't remember anybody's face. But he quote Scripture. He remembered Scripture. And he would just quote Scripture when people talked to him because he had God's Word so embedded in his heart, in his mind. That's amazing to me. That's the power of God's Word. And so I'm going to challenge you, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not studying your Bible the way that you should, pray. Say, Lord, what book would you have me read? Maybe you're going to read John like me. Maybe you're going to read a proverb every day. But I would challenge you to just get something that you can do every day. And then let's not have an attitude of, I got to do it. But pray and say, Lord, speak to me. Show me. I don't want to read it to just get my check mark. We're not doing anybody any good by just reading it to get a check mark. But God, speak to me. May this meditate deep into my heart and soul. I love you, church. And I pray that as the enemy attacks this week, that you'll be strong, that you'll be faithful, that you'll partake of the manna from heaven and not the forbidden fruit. Y'all have a blessed week. Remember, elders meeting if anybody wants to stay.